I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe poet Victor de Suvero and singer-songwriter Consuelo Luz. They will be doing a presentation tonight at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore. Victor de Suvero has a new book called Still Here, New and Selected Poems. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Thank you. It's great to be back here. It's been a while.
So the two of you are doing a kind of interesting thing, which is not just one of you talking and the other one talking, but you're actually, well, do you work together? And do you, for example, set Victor's poems to music?
Yes, I have. I have several of Victor's wonderful poems set to music. We'll be doing probably at least one tonight.
The poems, I mean, Still Here, you have come out with many books of poems. We've had you on the air many times. And the whole set of themes around looking back on life, age and mortality, looking forward to future generations, looking back to many generations, it's something that I wonder if you've been thinking about those themes your whole life or whether these are things that really do come later in life.
They come later in life. I've just had a birthday, 87
birthday.
Years.
Wow.
And so since the time left to me is so much smaller than all the time that I've had, and I don't want to squander what's left, and so I've been busy writing, and Still Here is one collection, and I've been asked to do another collection by another press, which I expect to be able to get done here this year. So I'm still writing, and that's why the title of this collection is I'm Still Here.
This whole question of making decisions about not squandering time, about using the time that you have wisely, what can you share with us about that? Because those are lessons for everybody.
The main thing is that one generally wastes a lot of time by going from this point, this obligation to that one, and people generally don't manage their time in a responsible way. And it's true not only in terms of writing, but just in terms of life. If you know that you don't have very much, you don't go and spend it really in fashions that could be grotesque or that could be just totally useless.
Time or hurtful.
Or hurtful. And that's why I, in terms of the writing, I have tried to limit the themes that I've been writing on. And one of the things that happens as you grow older, memory plays funny tricks. And I am remembering things from my childhood when I was 4 and 5 that I'd forgotten for so long. And that gives a different, that's a different kind of experience in terms of recalling things. I'm still here and still working. And that's basically the theme of all of the poems that have been selected to go into this collection.
When you remember things from when you were 4 years old now, and they're sort of fresh memories, things that you hadn't thought of for a long time, do they feel significant to you? Do they become topics of your poetry?
Well, I've written a couple of poems around those issues. But since I was born in Italy and really went to China with my father when my father was stationed there, in the Italian Diplomatic Corps. I left Italy when I was 5. So I grew up in China and came to the United States as a political refugee in 1941, in February, just before the Second World War started. And I can isolate individual experiences that are recalled, and sometimes they've worked their way into a poem. But since, as I say in one of the poems, since the time that is left to me is so much less than all the time that I've had, I look at the things I do with a different point of view than I did here as much as 10 years ago. But it's wonderful to have the possibility of working with Consuelo and other poets in this area. And that kind of involvement, particularly we're working on a project, Poems for Peace. September 21st is a day for Poems for Peace, which is a friend of mine started and I've worked with, and it's Poems for Peace is going to be celebrated in 21 countries on September 21st, and that's Peace Day. So it's wonderful to have an opportunity to share, because poetry is definitely a question of sharing, and if you don't share, you're not living to the full. But I really appreciate the way that life has treated me, and because I can do things that can be shared.
The whole question of, and this is I think a question for both of you, of working toward peace in a world that has been at war for millennia in one way or another, there's a kind of futility in it, and yet there's a kind of hope that you have to keep alive. How does each one of you do that? How do you see that process?
Well, there is no question in my mind that we, those of us who have a different kind of awareness of what life is and what we're here to do, and the purpose of this amazing life is to really grow in as fine a way as is possible, and that is to visualize a world where peace is possible, and to keep on visualizing that. If we don't do that, then, I mean, can you imagine? There has to be, I've always been optimistic that I visualize this world of peace and that it can happen. I just keep on believing it, and I won't give up believing that, having that vision. But I'm also sometimes realistic and say, wow, this, you know, human nature is such, this could, you know, keep on going like this for a long time. But if we don't push back, if we don't assert that aspect, and that heart and that soul and that vision and the goodness and the kindness and the belief that human beings can rise above, then the other side will totally overcome, and there'll be complete darkness. So we have to keep shining the light no matter what. And those of us who are poets, who are artists, who are people like you, who engage us in these conversations and who put it out in the media so that people out there can get inspired, this is what we're here to do. I just feel that we have no choice but to have this vision, even though everything you look out there, everything tells us, like you say, the opposite. It's still almost futile. But that this is the nature of life. It's the dark and the light and the balance. And so we are, I feel, my purpose in life has always been to shine the light and the hope. And
I think that shining the light and living with hope is really critical. We are, after all, if you go strictly to the Bible and realize that we are all, in a sense, we're all children of Cain. Cain was the forefather because he killed Abel, and Adam and Eve did not have any other children. So figure that out. If we're all the children of Cain, it's a blood spot that nobody can really get away from. And if you have, I had a cat that had a crooked hind left leg, and she passed that on to the kittens, and I did not realize that a warp in the physical aspect of that cat could then be passed on, and it really gave me a little bit a little thing to think about, because to have a crooked leg, or it's just as easy to think that you can have a crooked heart.
And yet I knew that cat. She was one of the most beautiful cats I've ever met.
Yes.
So special. So just gorgeous.
But anyway, we've been doing, working with Consuelo, it's been really wonderful because her sense of music matches my sense of poetry, and she enlarges the field.
We're talking to Victor de Suvero and Consuelo Luz. And Consuelo, you, like Victor, grew up in a lot of different places, traveled quite a bit. How has that informed your sense of music and the work that you do?
It definitely has influenced what I do. I traveled all over the world. My father was also in the diplomatic kind of work that he did for the United Nations. When I was 2 years old, we went to Greece, and then went to Italy and the Philippines. And when I was 11 years old, we moved to Peru, which is kind of where I feel like I grew up, because those were the years that one really remembers, and I still have friends there, and I go back. And then I came back to this country when I was 18. I had been born here, but I had never grown up here. So I brought back this totally different perspective than most Americans, who are... Apparently, I think I read a statistic somewhere that only 30% of Americans even have passports.
Right.
And there's a less number that even travel the world. So the
almost nobody can afford to travel the world.
And now it's very difficult, yeah. So I know that there's a limited perspective when you grow up in an isolated situation and don't have really an understanding of how the rest of the world is and how similar we are in so many ways to everybody living everywhere. And this is unfortunately a part of American culture that is, I think it's actually destructive to us because it isolates us.
It's funny, we're similar, but in many ways we're not similar. And I think one of the destructive parts of the American mythology is that everybody else is just like us.
Oh, in that sense, the habits that we have and the priorities we have.
Yeah, they want to be just like us.
They believe that, right. That's true because, well, we're living under a system of media propaganda never before seen, I think, in the history of this world. And that affects people's consciousness and what they believe, too. But I bring into my music, you know, things that I have definitely picked up along the way. Mostly from South America, because that's where I started playing the guitar and singing after doing classical piano for a long time. And I loved the folk songs. I loved the passion of the South American ballads. And then I started writing my own songs when the 60s came along, and I got infused with that movement and that vision. So my music is kind of a combination of all of that.
What are some of the specific South American influences in terms of folk music? I mean, is there a specific tradition within Peruvian folk music, for example?
Well, there is. One of the, I think, greatest songwriters, female songwriters on the planet, she's passed away now, was Chabuca Granda from Peru. She wrote songs like Fina Estampa that became internationally known and beloved and are sung everywhere. And I knew her. She was she lived in Lima, and I actually went out with her son when I was, I don't know, 16 years old. So I was just so inspired by her and in awe. The first song that I learned on the guitar was Fina Estampa, was one of her songs, and so that was helpful for me to be able to have that role model of a South American woman who didn't fit the mold at all.
Right.
And who was writing these exquisite songs. And that's a very strong influence for me growing up.
Very interesting. Now, what about you, Victor? Are there poets or, in fact, musicians who've influenced the way you write and the rhythm of your work and things like that?
I have been influenced by so many poets that have become part of my life, not only the ones of the 50s and 60s, but from long before, the classics going all the way back to Homer. The whole idea of poetry having started as the only way of communication, serious communication, because there was family talk and then there was poetry. they did not have the constancy of having people explain the same thing about a POW exchange that keeps on going, and the people who have counted as part of my my development range particularly in terms of America. We can start with Walt Whitman, and we can go all the way through to the English as people like Auden, and we develop our own voice. No matter how much has been written or read in the past, and it is the infusion of all those different ways of looking at things and describing things that really has shaped my poetry and my life. So and I try to put all of that down in the publications. I've been very fortunate, and I have some 11 collections, and I've edited other things, but it's really wonderful to have an opportunity, as I've had with you, just in terms of discussing and bringing bringing a different voice, a different view, to people who then can have their world enlarged by the kinds of poetry and the kinds of poems that I provide.
Which have inspired me tremendously through the years, and the fact that, you know, as we all age here, I'm not quite up there with you yet, but I'm getting there, and it's really inspiring to see someone who, as Victor said, at his age, 87, is not still writing, still publishing, still out there sharing his work. And we all need to do that as we age. I don't think we can't afford to climb into our little caves and think that we're done. We're not, because we need to inspire each other. And, you know, some people sometimes think, oh, well, preaching to the choir, you know, is preaching to the people that already think like you. But we all need that inspiration. Even the choir needs to be inspired, because we have our ups and downs, and we get depressed, and we think, oh my God, this is overwhelming. And we need, when the other ones are up, or when we need to be the ones to inspire others. And then when we're down, we go to our colleagues to inspire us.
Victor, would you like to read a poem?
Yes. Yes, definitely. As sun breaks, as gull cries, as fields are tilled to begin again, as the loved one dies, as hawks wheel to begin again, as the house burns and the flood washes away everything, as the friend miscalculates, as bowls break to begin again, as the direction is lost and the food runs out, as the orchard is blighted and anger explodes to begin again, to begin each time again. From seed to flowering, without hope of turning, without prayer, without hope, without dreams. To begin a long journey with water, without water, having come a long way across deserts, having had to eat camels. To begin again knowing the masquerade is complete, knowing the sum is false, knowing your partner betrayed you yesterday. To begin again, each time at dawn, as the wind begins to move and the fleshing of your bones comes true, each time again. The daffodil grows, the river runs, and you turn to begin again.
That was poetry by Victor de Suvero. And Consuelo, you have made this that poem into a song?
Yes, and if you want to hear it, you come tonight.
You're going to sing it tonight?
Yeah.
Now, when you decide, like, to work with a poet and to make one of his songs, Victor's songs, for example, his poems into a song, how do you choose? Do you choose the poems that are already kind of more rhythmical?
Yes, there is definitely, I remember very much the process of going through his poetry books, reading the poems, and you just feel, you just sense, this will make a poem, I mean a song. Some poems that I adore of his just don't translate into songs. They don't have the right meter, the right rhythm, as you say. And it's this one is probably my favorite of, in terms of a poem turning into a song. It was just a natural. So it, yeah, not all poems can be songs, but some are perfect for songs. And I love when I find poems that can be turned into songs.
Do you otherwise write your own poetry or your own lyrics?
I do. And I've had poetry published, and I don't consider myself a poet at the level of Victor, who has, I don't know how many books of poetry you've published. But I have had some poems published. But I tend to turn my poems into songs. My poems tend to be, you know, songs to be. And I consider a lot of my songs poems put to music.
Well, my feeling is that when a poem is really a collection, it's a collection and a distillation of feelings and of awareness. And it's there. The poet's job is to really get that information out. So that it can be shared, because there are so many poems. Even when you go to Mass, if you're Catholic and you go to church on Sundays, the Mass itself is a distillation of the feelings and of the history of that particular church, and poetry has a way of sanctifying. Feelings of love, feelings even of anger, feelings about how money has become such an important part of our lives, and we wake up wondering what's happened in terms of the bank account, and if you can't put those worries into a poem, then you're not doing a good job.
Victor de Souvereau's new book of poetry is called Still Here, New and Selected Poems, and Consuelo Luce's new disc, not yet released, but we're going to hear something from it in just a moment, is called Nueva Luna. Now, when does this disc come out?
Well, it's I unfortunately try to rush the finishing of it, and that's never a good idea. So it's in a form now where it's kind of, I call it in a demo pre-release form. I'm going to go back and remix some of the songs. So I have it available, but it's not official, as you say, officially released yet, Nueva Luna. And I'm not sure when I have to. There's a lot of other things. I'm going to go visit my grandson, and I'm doing, you know, some other things that need attention. And then I will go back and remix this. And maybe, hopefully, by the end of this year, it'll be out there.
Excellent. Well, we will see both of you tonight at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore, which is on the corner of Galisteo and Water Street here in Santa Fe. And maybe we'll hear something from that disc. Consuelo Luce and Victor de Souvereau, thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Charlotte.
It's really wonderful.
Wonderful. Thank you.
buried flesh and the ecstasy of trees reminds us of the way our lost and crazed bones should be reaching down before going up, and everything is a miracle, and the sand is the same as the stars, and the jaguar devours our hearts so that our hearts can understand the heart of the earth. Adama. So